Hello and welcome to Como Se Sas. I forgot to write down what episode we're on, but we're recording this on January 9th. It's me, the Cubs fan, here again with Rob Viper.
Hey,
how's it going? We haven't fired each other as co-hosts yet, so you're still stuck with us.
Yeah.
We're here to talk about the stuff that's happening ahead in January. There really hasn't been much that actually happened since we last talked, but there's stuff that's interesting that's going to happen, I think.
But we stuck to the schedule because you said you wanted to do one after the Fantasticomania and AAA lineups were announced, and they happened to be announced one day apart.
Yeah, that worked out nicely.
Yeah.
And they're actually giving us some stuff to talk about. Because as usual, New Japan has about 3 months of good female matches in like a week.
Mm-hmm.
And AAA actually has matches, which is news for them.
Yeah. Because
it's been so long. They didn't run in December at all.
Just that Arena Neza taping that was like the rescheduled.
Oh, yeah.
And
that still hasn't
nothing,
aired.
Yeah, nothing even happened there. We haven't seen it, so it's technically like it didn't exist.
Yeah. And we're going to have four straight weeks of special episodes to fill time. And then eventually we're going to have stuff that's 6 weeks old. And then we'll have the show that they announced this week.
I wonder what they're even going to put on TV today, because it's just like an extra bonus special.
Yeah, but it was very strange. Last week they said, this is our last special, and we'll back to, this is our last of our three holiday specials, and they have a fourth special, so it could be really anything. I was wondering if maybe they would, like, since they did the 2015 awards, maybe you do a match from each of those, each person who won an award,
yeah.
Except I'm not sure what match you use for Garza Jr.
Probably just the Verano, the heroism.
The one where he debuted and lost.
Yeah.
The one that, yeah.
To Mysticis of all people.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Well,
so
go ahead.
So should we start with the Fantasticmania lineups, or is there anything else beforehand?
Sure, go ahead. Yeah, Fantasticmania sounds good.
Yeah. I figured out that we're going to be the only podcast that anyone's going to do where people talk about New Japan and they do not talk about the Bullet Club, because we're both on the subscribing in February anyway, so we wouldn't get to see them even if they did stay.
That's not true. I'm saying subscribed in February because I want to see the joint shows with ROH.
Oh, yeah, I guess those could be good.
Yeah.
It depends what they do with those shows. It's going to be interesting to see how well those shows do compared to CML, because the CML shows, when they first started, they were not selling out. They weren't selling out Korakuen Hall when they were just doing two shows, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And if Ring of Honor does a better start, then that means that they've done a better job of establishing those names. Because at least with CML, it's a different style that they're selling to, that they're getting to see Lucha Libre.
Right.
The New Japan fans get to see people from the U.S. all the time. So you'd think the CML would be a better deal, but if they can start off good with Ring of Honor, that'd be nice for them.
Well, the CML deal will be automatically better financially because they make a killing with all the merchandise.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to find, like, $6,000? What's a $6,000 peso version of Kevin Nero's bone that they can find for Ring of Honor guys?
That's a good question.
Does Roderick Strong have, like, an inflatable barbell some weights that you can just sell for like 5,000 yen
if,
to just turn a profit?
If Maria was still there, they could have Maria inflatable dolls.
Yes.
Those would
they
sell
may them. Anyway.
They might, yeah. Hey, CML is sending a bunch of Sombra stuff.
They are.
Yeah, so I'm sure that'll sell out because they still love Sombra there.
He's going to be such a big star if he doesn't make an NXT.
That's right. I was just saying on the on Twitter that it's interesting to see the reactions, like everybody praising him and everybody, all his ex-coworkers. I mean, they're so happy for him. And I remember when Mystico first showed up, you didn't hear anything like that. People, even his coworkers, they knew he was going to fail and they were looking forward to it. Whereas with Sombra, they think that if he succeeds, it reflects good on them.
Yeah, I think I think they also just, that Sombra's not an annoying person that everyone hates.
Exactly.
Which may be the case of the other guy.
Exactly. That's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah. So, on these cards, was there a standout show that you liked more than the other ones? Or did they all just look good? Or was there a particular thing you were looking forward to?
They all look good. I'm happy with the way they put the matches together. I'm surprised at, like, certain guys' placements. I expected Virus to be like Hechicero's going through the entire tour without a singles match and just basically working five-man tags, tag openers. I figured that's where Virus would be. But instead, they went the opposite way, and now Virus has a main event one night, and he's getting a big singles match, so that surprised me. In that sense, I'm happy of how the talent's being used. Everybody seems to like the last show more than the other ones. I'm kind of into the Friday show. I'm looking forward to that one. I'm going to be watching all three shows live. I know you're not going to have the guts to do the Friday show, right?
I don't think I'm waking up at 3 a.m. for the Friday show. I think... but it's a really good show, though, because that has both the Titan Barbaro and the Dorado Bushi matches.
It's mostly Titan Cavernario. That's my reason for waking up.
Yeah, it's tempting.
Yeah,
I kind of want to wait on that. I mean, I wouldn't want to stay up, though, to see Mystical and Volder versus Mephisto and Ultimo Guerrero. Because I feel like I've seen that match, like, a few times.
Oh, they're going to go crazy. You just watch. That match is going to be crazy. It's going to be amazing.
How far do you think Voldor is going to toss Mystico? He's just all over the place?
They're going to do that assisted Frankensteiner to the floor spot. I can see it in my head already. I've got it all planned out.
I think it would be neat if we got to see all six shows on New Japan World, but given what we saw when they had the other stops in previous years, and given the difference in lineups, it's not a huge loss to have to wait to see if they turn up at all. They'll be okay shows, but there's nothing. But those are the weaker shows by far.
But actually, I think one of the matches everybody's looking forward to is on the Osaka show, the main event, right?
Yeah, the Dragon League Tanahashi versus Okada and Virus. Yeah. That's the one that sticks out as missing. But then they have a lot of trios and tag filler, and I'm not really excited to see the Okamura singles run that we're getting on a couple of those shows.
Yeah. It's strange. I would have rather seen Hechicero get one match by putting him with Zavala for the Arena Coliseo tag titles, but I guess Okamura has to have his moment. Just like last year, he got to face Angel Doro in a lightning match and for the title, so he had two singles matches.
And he and Atlantis challenged for the IWGP tag titles one year, too.
Yeah,
so they always give him a match.
All the way back at the first year. Yeah. It's a good memory.
And I think that he had a trio style with No Limit, too.
Yeah.
If I remember. So it's the rule that Okamura has to do something. Hechicero, probably his unique move should get him over, even if he doesn't have great matches.
I think
because Virus is booked so highly, I wouldn't have ever thought about it before, but I think there's like a half-decent chance he could work his way into being brought back for like a Best of Super Juniors or something.
It's possible. Is this the first time Fire is going to be used on a New Japan show?
There had to be something like with Onita wandering into a show using fire or something. That's a good question, though.
Yeah.
It's probably the fire he uses is going to be the first time it's going to be used.
It'll get over great, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that he'll like. Different people always, different kind of characters get over well.
Are you anticipating any title changes in any of the matches they're having?
I was looking at this because I put together a list of we have five title matches, and I'm not sure there's going to be one. We have Titan versus Cavernario. If Cavernario is staying, and no one's mentioning the thing about someone staying anymore, which makes me suspicious, but if Cavernario is staying, it makes sense that Titan should pick up that title since Cavernario technically can't defend that against pretty much anyone in New Japan unless they bring someone in from Mexico. But the other four, Dorado versus Bushi, it seems like Bushi's keeping that title because he's going, because that's where New Japan's headed. Maybe Dorado gets it back, but it's not like Bushi would probably be more than willing to come to Mexico to defend it or even be the Universal Tournament because he's in Mexico enough already. Maya and Panther versus Zavala and Okamura. I think Maya and Panther would. I think that's just a defense. That's just a match to have a match. Dragon Lee is obviously the next big star, so he's not going to lose to Virus. And Boulder Jr. is the guy they put over on this tour every year, so he's not losing. Do you see any of them changing hands?
No, I pretty much agree with you, except if I see any title changing hands, I would say Dorada beating Bushi. Mm-hmm. But like you said, I mean, obviously it looks like they plan to have Bushi keep the title. But out of the five matches you listed, that seems like the only one that there could be a change. I mean, I guess they could just give Titan back the title over Cavernario, and then they could do a title switch if they wanted back in Mexico, just to do a title switch for the sake of doing one on the tour. But I don't know. As for if somebody's staying in New Japan, they would do it on the last night. And the last night, the last two matches, you've got Místico versus Ultimo Guerrero and Volador Jr. versus Mephisto. And obviously, none of those four are staying. So you would have to look at the match right before that. And I find it interesting that it's a trios match with all New Japan guys except Dragon Lee on one side and Cavernario on the other side. So if they are handing out a jacket, you would think it would have to be one of those two, and they would do it before or after that match.
Right.
So we'll see. If I had to pick somebody, I would still pick Cavernario.
I would still pick Cavernario. I think it's... I would be more upset if Dragon Lee left, because Dragon Lee is so important, feels more important to what CML is doing right this moment, but it's going to be disappointing to lose either of them. I think they'll be better off their experience, and I think even though I constantly make fun of how little Dorada has done in New Japan, from what he said online, at least, it sounds like he's enjoyed the experience.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe whoever wins will have the same, will enjoy it as well, but it just seems like it's not something to be as excited for after how this last year has gone.
And there haven't been many hints dropped. I mean, Dragon Lee's been missing for the past almost a month, but just been resting up injuries as far as I'm aware. But, I mean, if you wanted to really dig in and look deep, you could say that he's taking time off to get his life in order before he makes a big move.
Right.
But, I mean, we could be reading way too much into that. As far as I know, it's just injuries. There was a picture they showed. He was hanging out at Arena Mexico a couple weeks ago when Sombra was there.
Yeah, and he wrestled on that show with his two brothers. He had a match with Kamatachi in the semi-main. So it's not like he's out of action. He's just hanging at home for whatever reason.
Yeah, he's wrestling the Tuesday before they go at Arena Mexico.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I think out of the entire tour, I think Virus is going to get over. I think people are just going to be amazed by him. In the past, when he's gone to Japan, he's blown everybody away. It's just the size thing with him where there's no really real fit for him in a promotion like New Japan. I think Dragon Lee's going to get over good. Hechicero will get over with his moves. I really hope Titan breaks out somehow and he can get an invite back, because he does nothing in CMLL, and I'd at least like to get him on a Japan tour once or twice this year so that he does something, because looking forward, I don't see him doing anything else in CMLL this year.
Maybe if Triton keeps moving up, that he and Titan can do something together with a trio or something, but even then, I'm not really... There doesn't seem that many avenues. The best avenue for Titan is that New Japan keeps making deals with other promotions allows those other promotions to use CML talent in more places, because it's going to be tough for him to break through in New Japan, but in the nowhere in all Japan, he'd be a bigger star.
I think it would actually make his year if New Japan could invite him back and put him next month on the tour with the ROH guys for those Korak, because Titan's a big U.S. indie guy.
Yeah.
So he would be so happy.
The most interesting thing... The Observer didn't have much Lucha this week, but the most interesting thing was about that the two guys who were coming from New Japan, Tanaka and Komatsu, are also going to Ring of Honor. I mean, we've heard things about Ring of Honor wanting UCML guys before, and this is really being true New Japan, not true CML, but if ever that could get opened up, that would probably make a lot of people happy in CML. It's just more that the people in charge of CML don't pay attention to those kind of bookings.
I had a theory for you. Let me run it by you and see what you think. What would you say about Fujin and Raijin coming in as technicals?
I think I'd be okay with it. I think they've run the same formula of the masked Japanese Rudo coming in and getting beat about a year later and losing his mask so many times that any other variation on it would probably be pretty fun. And also it would keep Okamura from being in a lot of matches that – I don't want to see him in matches.
Mm-hmm.
But they seem to hint that they're coming in as opponents of Kamatachi, but maybe you keep him around so that he can work with them to put them over early on before he leaves, if they come in as technicos.
I'm wondering if... I don't know, I was just thinking in my head that, like, you know, Dorada's coming back. Maybe Dorada comes back and he brings them with him, and he's, like, their mentor.
He's their Okamura.
Right, and he works with them, they work as a trio, because... I mean, I don't follow New Japan as closely as other people, but it seems to me like Komatsu and Tanaka are babyfaces. They don't work heel. They don't work Rudo style.
Right.
So maybe New Japan would want them to come in as technicals, and maybe that's the best way to do it, because you want them to come. I mean, I don't see them working the junior heavyweight Rudo style and then going back to Japan like that. It seems like, especially now with the holes New Japan has, they would need to build more heavyweight stars.
Yeah, and CML keeps sending back, because Namahage ended up working as a Rudo and went back as a Rudo, and that really didn't help him that much. And Kamitachi is probably going back as a Rudo. It would be good if they had different people getting different training or coming back in different ways. But
didn't Desperado start as a... Because I remember he worked as a technical on one of the Fantastic Amigo tours.
He worked as technical and he didn't get over at all, so they had to turn back Rudo within a few months.
Right.
So, and maybe it's because he didn't get that practice. He didn't get those opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
But I think CML has a hard time seeing foreigners as anything but Rudos on their card, so it'd be New Japan really requesting them to come in as technicals if that was ever going to happen.
Mm. And then Okamura would get to work wherever those two guys are working. Maybe yeah. He'll get bumped up to semi-main events.
Do you think the Ring of Honor is going to have to bring him in?
I don't think so. I think they're okay on their own. I'm super curious, though, if somehow, some way, something can be worked out where New Japan, CMLL, and ROH form like this triangle of talent sharing, just to see how ROH incorporates into CMLL, just for the pure fascination of it, even if it only lasts like a month or two.
Yeah, it would be a great lab experiment, even if it didn't work out, just to see what would happen if you mix those substances together.
Kind of like when they were randomly bringing it in 2008, when they were randomly working with TNA for a month or two, and you had Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin, and they did a Torneo Cibernético where Jay Lethal was in it.
Yes. And they built up to the big... They set the program for Sabin and Shelley versus Casas and Ultimo Guerrero for the double hero match, and then did not do it because TNA wanted more money, which is still a funny story considering TNA seems to... It's not... TNA ended up getting no money, so why would you just not take whatever money they're offering?
Who knows? But,
so
anything else?
I think I'm happy it's all on New Japan Ropes. That's working fine for me now. And it's a lot. And just signing up to get all these matches for $8 is pretty good.
Yes.
I'm happy that New Japan World, unlike other services, has figured out video on demand. So I can make the option of not waking up Friday at 3:30 a.m. to watch that show.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's pretty good. I think those rookies in the openers are going to be pretty good, because I think because it's our last show before leaving Japan, that they're going to allow them to go full out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I wonder if they're going to end up staying for a full 2 years, because if they're as good as everyone says, then New Japan's probably going to want them back sooner and later. But I guess we'll figure that out.
They'll stay through the first year for sure. Then we'll figure out what's happening after that. I guess it depends on what's happening in Japan anyways.
Yeah. It's just such a weird system, because compared to CML, if Dragon Lee would still be working, if Dragon Lee was a New Japan guy, I think he'd still be Young Lion, he'd still not have gone on his excursion, and he would not, all these matches he's had would not have happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys, it'll take them like 5 years from the time they debut to actually get to do anything.
Yes.
It's a much slower system.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think we've talked everything out. I think the only other big singles match on that tour is the Mystical Ultimo Guerrero match. I think Ultimo Guerrero is winning that. They really kind of self-acknowledge that Mystical is not that great, and it's a point where they weren't at a few years ago, where they were trying to talk themselves into that this Mystical could work out, and they would make him a big star if they just gave him more wins. Now he's the guy that Volador makes fun of in interviews. So it's just, I think, I don't know what the future is for that guy at this point. But I think it would be interesting if he did win, because that means maybe there's still a lot of big plans for him. But right now it seems like they only have big plans for singles matches for him once a year when they do this tour.
Well, we're assuming he's going to hold up during the entire tour, because last year his shoulder kind of gave out on him. But
yeah,
I hate to disagree with you, but I do think that he's going to win this one, just because why not? I mean, what's the difference?
It's also Guerrero, though. I mean, if it was anyone else.
Yeah, but Guerrero's going to win every other match on his tour, so he'll just win everything and give this one to Místico, and then afterwards he can raise Místico's hand, and he can get over as, like, the nice guy who put the little kid over. I don't care, you know.
Do you think Ultimo Guerrero is still going to be able to compete on these shows after taking the devastating brass knuckles to the head from Thunder?
Somehow, I think he'll manage to recover, and in true Ultimo Guerrero fashion, he's leaving the territory just when they're setting up his proteges to have all the trouble trying to face Thunder in a singles match.
And they're doing it so that no one will remember he got knocked out
right.
2 weeks ago
exactly.
by the time he comes back.
I called it last night. I said they're going to have the exact same match next Friday, just with Diablo Rojo and Ultimo Guerrero's spot.
Yeah. I can't believe, I mean, I guess they got messed up because they didn't know what their own guys are working, but setting up, doing Christico versus Rush on a one-week build, mm-hmm. when everyone left the building with no idea that match was actually going to happen, is such the CML thing.
And even stupider is, like, wouldn't you do that on January 22nd when AAA's running, like, 15 minutes away?
Yeah, that would make some sense.
It would.
When you have an extra week to push it, and when it's going to be a tougher time to sell your ticket, I don't know.
I wonder if they'll just do Rush versus Cibernetico on January 22nd. But they can't, because they're doing Thunder versus whoever, either Euphoria or Gran Guerrero. See, that's the problem when some people look at the CML schedule, is that you can't do two singles matches. It messes up the booking formula. So there can only be one singles match. That's why last night, when I assumed it was going to be Thunder versus Euphoria, I said there's no way they can do Rush versus Cibernetico. So then when I saw the lineup that they had Rush versus Cibernetico, then there was no Thunder versus Euphoria, I'm like, they just can't be two singles matches. So I think they'll do Thunder versus Euphoria on January 22nd, and then the main event will be something with Caristico,
some
Rush.
Some Incredibles.
Maybe Charlie
guys,
Manson
yeah.
shows up finally.
Yeah.
Who knows? So messed up, though. I mean, it's unfair to judge CMLL because technically I don't start to judge what CMLL is doing this year until after Fantastic Mania is over and everybody's back, because this is like supposed to be the dead time for them. That's why, like you said, throwing out Rush and Caristico just like that, it's kind of mind-boggling.
Okay. I think we have everything we need, CMLL. It's been the shows of late streams. And the shows on the streams have not really been so great. I've no outside Dragon Lee and Kamatayachi, but hopefully once these guys get back, they'll pick up things a little bit. It's not just that they're losing these guys for 2 weeks, but there's a lot of people who haven't been around because they've been on vacation or been home or whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll get some less repeated matches. Or maybe we'll just get more Vangelis, Ray Buchner, and Terrible. I don't know. AAA.
Yeah, let's get on to the good stuff. AAA.
The good stuff. Guerrero the Titans 2016 is actually happening with a lineup that completely does not resemble the card they announced a month ago.
I'm actually curious to see, because you pointed this out a while ago, and I just thought about it today when I was looking at the poster, because on the poster it says Guerrero de Titanes 2016. And you said, what are they going to do in December of this year?
Yeah.
It's going to be the exact same show.
It's the same name. But that's the AAA way, is that we got to think about this month, and then we'll figure out, like, December, sometime in November.
Yeah.
Maybe early the summer. We'll figure out December. I think it's a better card, though, because there's at least one match that could be pretty good.
Oh, for
and
sure.
And then there's a couple other matches where I don't really know where they're going, so at least we have an interesting outcome, and that can move things forward. But it also is a card where it's a card that's setting up Rey the Reyes and being a big card of its own, mm-hmm. pretty much. It's setting up Rey the Reyes, and it's clearing up all the title situations that are a complete mess since people walked out since the last time they had a show.
But I'm happy with the way they're clearing up the main title picture, because, you know, I love Rey Mysterio Jr., but I was not a fan of just putting him in a match with Morrison randomly for the title. I mean, they actually took some good, maybe they took our advice, maybe they just figured it out on their own, but that would have been a very bad way to figure out, give the title to somebody and how to do it.
Yeah. So I thought we should steal the Voices of Wrestling gimmick and rate each match on this card about from 1 to 10, 10 being highest, about how excited you are to actually see this match.
Okay.
So, opener, Dean Estia, Nino Hamburguesa, Pimpinella Escarlata versus El Apache, Mamba, and Mini Charlie Manson.
I will give it a 2, because I have seen this match a million times. I have no interest in seeing any of these guys against each other. Dina Steele's great, but I've seen him against Mini Charlie. I'm wondering what happened to all these AAA minis. They used to be, like, where's Octagon Cito? Why am I not seeing him versus Mini Abismo Negro? Where are the other guys they were supposed to be? Remember they had that Rey Celestial showed up one time out of nowhere? He won the...
He won the Quinta Por, whatever. He won the talent search contest.
And he showed up once or twice, and he's gone.
Yeah.
And they have Venom and Luxor, who are basically the size of Dynastia. If you want to make the minis, you might as well go ahead and just put them in the minis division, because they barely get on TV as it is. But part of the fun about AAA used to be watching these openers, these guys come out of nowhere that you only see once in a while, but they put on amazing matches. And lately, it's been way too much Nino Hamburguesa and the same Mamba versus Pimpinella stuff. I would love to see them refresh something. Remember at the beginning of last year, it was fun. They brought in Gotita de Plata. They had Belial. Yeah. They had Ares just show up randomly and put on good matches. I would like to
see. And that concept got dropped after like 2 months.
Right.
It was disappointing. I would give it a 3 because Apache hasn't been on since I've done those matches, and I've missed seeing him. But you're right, is that these openers used to be the hot matches, but now it seems like they fear the better way to get the crowd into is to do a lot of comedy openers. As we get Pimpinella all the time, we get Hamburguesa a lot, not as much as we used to, but still a lot. We get Mamba a lot. It stuck out to me that the AAA women were pretty much taking off the cards and anything but mixed tags last year. But you're right, the minis pretty much you haven't got many straight minis matches outside of when they set up the Dynasty of title matches. Otherwise, it's just you get two of them mixing with other people.
Right, I feel like we haven't even seen Masquerita Sagrada on TV in ages.
Yeah, I can't think of the last time.
Just she's on Lucha Underground.
Yeah. And, yeah.
I don't know, maybe it's something personal with him, because he was the one who no-showed on Christmas at Arena Lopez Mateos, and then they had Fireball fill in as a mini.
Yeah, which every bad gives bad feelings. Masquerita Sagrada's last appearance was on April 18th.
Yeah, it's been ages.
That's a long time.
It's got to be something personal then, because it's not like he's out in the outs with the promotion or anything.
He's appeared on Lucha Underground twice more since then. On season one stuff, not even counting, no spoilers, but I don't know what happened there, but something's there. Okay, second match, I know the match that you really saw and you kind of drew a circle around it because you were so excited.
Oh, yeah.
So Bobby Apache, Goya Kong, Mara Villa versus Lei Shinnai, Sexy Star, and Taya in a lumberjack strap match, which is really comedy match number two, basically, then. I would give this a 2 because maybe Lei Shinnai and Mara Villa and Bobby Apache will do two good spots, and that'll be the end of the match.
I would give it a 0 because there's nothing I'm looking forward to in this match at all. I'm surprised, you know, Taya Valkyrie follows me on Twitter and didn't say anything if she checked out my Observer Awards ballot. She got number one in one of my categories. But listen, even if you take out the stupid lumberjack strap match stipulation, this is just like six women going nowhere, doing nothing. I don't know where they're headed. I don't really care. Even if Sexy Star's back, this means nothing to me. If you toss in the lumberjack strap match, it'll be probably the six guys from the opener just coming out to strap the women for no reason. And this generally just feels like it's going to be a huge waste of time. I can't even fathom the idea that they're setting up Goya versus Taya for the title, because that sounds horrible.
That's like the worst possible match of any match you could make of those people.
But I can't see them doing anything else. I don't even know what else they could do.
No. You remember Sexy Star as a champion still? I'm not sure if they remember that.
I'm sure at some point they'll remember it, but I'm glad. I hope they don't, because she's champion with Pentagon Jr. And the last thing he needs is another shitty partner.
Yeah,
he's
pretty much
already got one. Yeah, I think we can just move on from this unless you have something.
The last time Sexy Star appeared on TV was Triple Mania, but the time before that was last year's Career of the Titans, when they were still trying to do the stuff with Ibelis that they dropped cold.
Yeah.
So I'm sure all her not really wrestling that much has really improved her not really great wrestling. So this will be a challenge. I mean, adding a lumberjack strap stipulation means you have no confidence in the match and you need some big distraction going on so people will actually watch it. So that's like, that's a non-endorsement.
Exactly.
Of the people in it. I don't know why you would do that match if you didn't believe it when you when it's supposed to be a big show.
But let's be positive, actually, okay? They're adding a stip to cover for a bad match, which means they've learned something from Triple Mania where they put the good workers in a terrible stip match.
Oh, yeah, because if they made their next match a lumberjack strap match, we'd be just rebelling on the internet right now.
We'd be apoplectic. It'd be the worst.
If the next match is Jack Evans, Australian Suicide, and the mystery person who's probably supposed to be Angelico, and they just haven't worked out who's replacing him yet, versus Daga, Parker Negra, of all people, and Superfly. I've lost track of who we think is Parker Negra right at this moment, but it's sometimes it's been,
Gladiator.
Is that right?
Yeah. Because
I forget if it's him or Dizzy. Because if it's Ultimo Gladiator, then that's a good match.
Mm-hmm.
If it's other people have been that, it's not a good match. This is just seems like a thing to keep the Australian Suicide Daga match going, which really, given what they did on TV, and given the lack of endings on this card, this would not have been the worst time to just do the Daga Australian Suicide mass match instead of getting it lost on a bigger show.
Mm-hmm.
But the match itself is going to be pretty good. I would say like a 7 out of 10.
Yeah,
it depends on that mystery guy, I guess.
Yeah, I go about the same, 7. I'm happy that they're keeping Australian Suicide and Daga still paired up.
Yeah.
This kind of ties in with the next match, too, but I'll get to, or 2 matches from now, I'll get to my point then. But yeah. This match, I mean, the mystery guy could be anybody. You suggested maybe Fireball when you wrote out the show preview. I don't disagree with that. Could be Fireball. Could be any. I mean, could be, who knows who they can dig out. They can dig out Supernova, can show up out of nowhere. It could be anybody, really. But, at least it'll be a good work rate match, middle of the show, something to do. Angelico may actually still be there just to show up and do something from ringside, even if he's injured. I'm happy that they put the workers with the workers. So we at least get a good match.
This is a match they usually try to force Joe Leader on the card on,
exactly.
And they did not.
Exactly.
They give Superfly instead, and that's a big improvement.
That's right. That's exactly what I was trying to get my point out there is like, just you have so many good workers. Just let them be. Let them have good matches and move on. Don't overthink it.
Yeah. So that should be the best match. If that's not the best match on the card, then something else really overachieved, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So
like the next match.
The next match is Aerostar and Phoenix versus Mascaro Año Dos Mil Jr. and Volano Cuatro versus Averno and Chessman. That's the weirdest possible team.
Yeah.
I don't know what Mascaro Año Dos Mil's gimmick is right now in AAA, because they had him looking for somebody, and then he looked for them, and then he just disappeared. And I guess he got tired of looking. I don't know.
Oh, did I miss the mystery TV angle where Viano 4 was his stalker?
Oh, is that the answer?
I don't know.
That's the answer I was not expecting.
Yeah.
We would learn a lot of things of Viano 4 we did not know. They really haven't explained what's going on with the tag team titles, because everything else, maybe the tag title match they had announced previously, like everything else from the original lineup is just gone. But you would think, since the whole feud was about Leader and Pentagon getting a title shot, that's weird that this match is happening. Maybe it's just a justification for Averno and Chessman getting the title shot they were going to get all along. But it could be pretty fun if the random team stays out of their way. But I'm not sure if the random team is going to stay out of the way. And Volano and Chessman did have a good match a couple years ago. But it's just a completely different style than what other guys are doing. So this could go like any one of like 100 different ways. But maybe a 6?
I'd go an 8, actually, just because of the weirdness. And the fact that I think that the weird team is going to get out of there quickly. And I think we're just going to get a straight Aerostar Phoenix versus Averno Chessman match, which on paper looks absolutely incredible. So that could be really fun. I think you're right. I think Averno and Chessman are winning this. And hopefully Jack doesn't listen to this, because I think the ultimate joke at the end of the day is that not only are they going to win it and get their title shot, but AAA is still going to put Pentagon and Joe Leader in the match at Rey de Reyes. So we're going to get a 3-way tag, which of course Jack loves. And he's going to be screwed once again. But the thing is, it's very weird that they found this team out of, like, again, the I don't want to pick it apart too much because it's the next match that I want to pick apart. But you could easily have a better tag team in this than just those two. Or you could just keep it a straight singles match and find a third partner to put these guys in the next match. I mean, Viano and Mascherano and Dos Mil Jr.
They really add nothing to the match. It completely feels like they are forced on the card to fit some sort of obligation. But it doesn't really... There's a story. If the reason for them to be on the card, then AAA needs to really tell that story before the show happens. Mm-hmm. But then it would also help if they explain the whole tag team situation. If Pentagon and Leader are getting a shot, then they can write some like 200-word article on their website or on the Facebook saying they're still going to get their shot. These are guys to figure out who's the third team now. It shouldn't be like people who follow the promotion speculating wildly on what the actual angles are at the moment. But so it goes sometimes.
It feels like maybe they had a foreign team planned to be in this match, and then they decided not to use a foreign team. But instead of just doing a straight tag match, they're like, well, we need another team in there. And they just pick one of the office guys and one of the guys that rarely gets booked on TV.
Yeah, because we know at one point, when that three-way at the December show was originally planned, I believe Conan said that it was supposed to be Willie Mack and Speedball instead of Averno and Chessman. Mm-hmm. So maybe they thought they could bring those guys back for this show, and then turned out they couldn't get them. But then there's still no need to have... You could have done this as a 2-versus-2 match, and no one would have complained.
Right.
The fifth match on the show is the incredibly strange three-way match for the vacant trio styles. It used to be Cybernetico, Averno, and Chessman. Apparently, Averno and Chessman have absolutely no interest of getting these titles back, so it's three other teams. Electroshock, Garza Jr. and La Parca, who have never teamed in their life. Cuervo, Scorpio, and Zorro, who have teamed and are 0-1 in their teams. And Hio de Perota Morgan, Hio del Fantasma, and Taurus, who are like two different factions and one unaligned guy. It's a strange match. I'm not even sure it's a good match. But I'm not even sure exactly it's going to win, although it seems like the one team that was actually formed on TV might be the favorite.
You would hope so.
I would give this... But I don't really know what to make of this at all, so I'm giving this a 5.
I would go 7, because it's strange and there's a bunch of good workers in it, so it could be pretty chaotic, and chaos is good for me, because you never know what you're going to get. But as I was alluding to earlier, it's one of those matches. I mean, I don't want to pick apart things too much, because, you know, you can nitpick anything if you wanted to. But in this case, it's like when the card came out on Twitter and you said you were writing up your preview for it, I thought you were going to tear apart the fact that, you know, they actually put a skit on TV and they had vignettes putting the new Anarchia together again with Daga, Steve Payne, and Hijo de Pirata Morgan.
They put them together. Oh, go on. Sorry. I'll get in later.
Right. So they put them together on TV. And you would think, you could, even though Steve Payne's not here, you could easily mix things up and just keep them together. You could move Hijo de Pirata Morgan down to the match where Daga is, and you could move Parca Negra up here, because he fits anywhere, no matter where you put him. And he was just teaming with Taurus on one of the old TVs. Or you could put Superfly up here. I mean, you could switch anything up. You could even move Mascara and Dos Mil and Viano 4 up here and put them in there. It's just the way that AAA just... They can't stick to anything. They just split guys up for no reason. It's very frustrating. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would totally agree. I think that the Daga, Steve Payne, Pereira group was one of their hottest acts they had in the last 4 months. And I would do anything to keep them together and maintain the momentum. Mm-hmm. And splitting them up willy-nilly for no particular reason, it doesn't help. I think there's a issue where... different people are interested in different things in AAA, and obviously some people have an interest in doing this Electroshock Pirata Morgan thing, and other people want to see Pirata with the Suicide, Jack Evans, and Angelico kind of guys.
Yeah.
And so he's getting pulled back and forth between different feuds, where one's a lot more interesting than the other. I think the other thing is, you brought up that they did do the they put back Anarchia on TV, but I don't think they've done like a vignette on TV in like 3 months. It seems like they just stopped filming them and stopped doing stuff, and we'd get stuff where the announcers say, "Oh, Electroshock and Purita had a problem before the show," And then, but they never do a vignette to explain why Peralta turned on him at the end of that show and went back to this group when that was really, really necessary. I think they did one thing with Macias facing off with Phoenix, but then they're not even in the same match on the show.
It's a disorganization, man.
It's like, it seems like having like 30-second things where you can explain what the characters are up to would fit things in. They're probably, if Cuervo and Score and Zora are going to win, which I think is slight favorite, but I mean, it's the Trio Styles could go anybody. They probably should have more things established in as a group than rather just one loss and Zora complaining about stuff afterwards and walking out. It's the obvious thing that helps Lucha Underground, and while nothing AAA is going to do is probably going to look as good as Lucha Underground, having those character moments would help these characters actually get over.
Mm-hmm. And even if they win the titles, I mean, where do you go? There's no obvious challengers. The only ones you can think of would be the Clowns. But
yeah.
I think Psycho Clown is going to be otherwise occupied. So who cares if they get the titles?
Yeah, I think there's real no obvious. AAA always seems like they have like one too many titles, and right now there's no real point to having these trio titles. I think they want to give them on someone, so it's not they don't have to explain why they don't have them. But I don't see, no matter which team wins, I don't see them going any place for him. I guess maybe you can make an idea that Phantasma wins as a way to continue building him up for something down the road, but that team is so random and makes no sense that I think they'd turn out to be an obstacle later on.
Maybe we're missing the point that like Taurus is going to go crazy and just kill everybody in the match and establish himself as like a loner, because that would actually be something new in AAA, some Rudo saying, I don't want to be part of any faction and just being on his own, killing people.
Yeah, Taurus has never got like a vignette explaining who the hell Taurus is.
Right.
That's another guy.
But they haven't stuck him with any of the groups yet, which is good.
They haven't, but that's, I'm not sure it's because they've done it on purpose or because they just haven't got around to explaining he's part of Phantasma's group or something, because he's teaming Phantasma and Tejano all the time.
Let's hope they keep him separate though, because the last thing they need is another guy in a group.
No.
Pentagon Jr.'s in Europe, so that's why he's not on this show, right?
Right. So he and Drago's in Europe.
Right, so let's hope that when he comes back and he's part of the picture here, they kind of put him to the side and just keep him as a single too.
Yeah. I think the other guy who's having trouble because he's part of a group and maybe isn't benefiting from it anymore is in our main event. We have Dr. Wagner and Psycho Clown versus Macias and Tejano Jr., where the idea is that the winning tag team faces off against each other at Rey de Reyes.
Yep.
And I think Tejano Jr., I was trying to think of any big win he had in 2015, and I cannot really think of any that happened in AAA.
I can't think of anything either. I'm just thinking of Lucha Underground.
Yeah. So I think he's a guy who, they like having the Phantasma-Tejano teamwork, but Tejano almost needs to be in his own group or needs to have a stronger role before being in this match. I just thought that, I know obviously Macias and Tejano Jr. are losing because that's not a headline match in a Rey de Reyes, but they need someone stronger or someone who was doing better than Tejano in that spot. I think that's where Phoenix fits in, considering Macias' feud, or Phantasma fits in. If they're going to make him the leader of his group, he shouldn't be in the secondary match. But Tejano hasn't been treated well enough. And Macias doesn't have a lot of great wins either, but he has got better of Phoenix in their feud, so at least there's something behind him. If Tejano just sticks out as a guy they haven't done much with, but are trying to still coast off what he was doing a couple years ago.
I would go another 7 for this. I think in my fantasy booking, I said this on the podcast last time, I think Tejano Jr. should be a technical, and it would make sense if he got turned on here and somehow he became the technical. But I see Wagner and Psycho winning this, because that seems like a good singles match to headline a Rey de Reyes show with. And as for who gets the title, I would have put it on either Psycho Clan or Dr. Wagner Jr. for two very different reasons. But I think this is a good show to main event, a show like this Guerra de Titanes with. It's got the names, it's got a reason to exist. And hopefully something big comes out of it, because the last thing we need is for nothing to come out of it and for it just to be a match, because I think that they've got their Rey de Reyes card already pretty much planned out after this, and I think it's going to be 2 months of dead TV in the meantime.
Yeah. You know, when they run in Mexico City for these shows, it seems like they have a history of running a big angle.
Mm-hmm.
Not all that it takes, but I mean, when they ran last April, it was the Macias heel turn, which bizarrely never got shown on TV, but was a big deal at that moment. Tejano going the other way would be a big deal. I'm sure there's, once we get to that week of the show, there's going to be the usual rumors about 12 different people jumping from CML.
Oh, yeah.
And AAA actually calling like 11 of them, and about 4 of them giving them some ideas they might jump, but backing out the last second.
And of course, half of them are going to be in Japan at that time.
Half of them are going to be in Japan, so that's going to slow them down a little bit. But yeah, they need something to add some excitement, to give the people a reason to talk about what's going forward than what's happened prior. But so I think Wagner and Psycho are going to win. I think I would give this a 6 maybe, because I think it's so set that they're going to win. But hopefully they'll do something that would make it more memorable after the fact. Do you have an early feeling about who's going to win the title between Psycho and Wagner?
I have no feeling, because I wouldn't give it to either of these guys. I don't want to be the guy to start rumors or anything, but there's a lot of stuff about Psycho Clown that makes you think that he's not going to end this year in AAA, and I don't know when it'll be. I mean, maybe I'm totally out to lunch here and he's sticking around for the long haul, but something.
But he has a lot of connections back in CML, and he'd be persuaded to come back.
He has many connections to CML, including one that is on the way, if you catch my drift. And I just, you know, with the money that Elite tosses around and the fact that he'd have job security, the only thing you would have to think about is the gimmick, because I'm sure AAA owns the Psycho Clown gimmick.
Yes, I do.
But I don't think it'd be wise to put your title on him unless you're planning for another tournament later this year. But at the same time, I don't want the title on Wagner, because Wagner's even more of a wild card for completely different reasons, just because he's a complete psycho.
Yeah.
So I would give the title to any of them, and I'm kind of dreading what AAA is going to do. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a bad situation. So I think they end up back with Wagner, which is crazy. I think if you could get assurances that Psycho is going to be around for a long term, and if you get assurances of Wagner that he would actually lose in a way that would help Psycho, the best possible situation would be Psycho being Wagner and being established as a new champion. Because you have a lot of interesting people you could send after Psycho. You could do the Tejano match. You could bring back Cage and do a match. You could bring back Mundo and do a match. You could do Macias as a match. But you could do Phantasma as a match, and that wouldn't be as big a size difference as it would be with some other people.
It's even risky that the fact that if they put over Wagner and Psycho here, still have 60 days or so between shows where Wagner can decide to do anything.
Yeah, that's a problem.
It's risky.
I mean, I think the thought process is that they need a name to be involved in the title match to give it some sort of credibility.
Yeah.
And the problem is that they haven't made too many names on their own roster to give something credibility.
That is a very good point.
I think it'd be better if they changed a team somehow, and it would be safer if they changed the team somehow and it was Psycho versus Macias, because then you could at least count on Macias probably being around long enough, because he's got the Lucha Underground deal too. Mm-hmm. Well, and Macias, motivating Macias as champion wouldn't be the worst of idea, but
yeah.
You don't see a lot of motivating Macias in Mexico.
Well, I'm hoping the Phoenix feud will bring it out of him, because they have great chemistry in Lucha Underground.
Yeah.
I'll steal the point that you made here in the notes. In your notes, you mentioned no. It's notable who's not on the show. You put no Rey, no Mundo, and no Cage. And to that, I'll add no Blue Demon Jr.
Yeah.
I don't want to, you know, be one of those rumor mongers again. But, you know, Elite's throwing out a lot of names. They want any name possible to be on their shows. Blue Demon Jr. happens to be a name. The fact that he's not on the show is interesting to me, because this seems like the type of show he would be on, and he's got nothing else to do. And it's, you know, you mentioned when you were saying that AAA hasn't built up any names of their own, and I think that was a big problem in 2015, that, you know, they brought in a lot of names, but they kind of kept those guys separate. Alberto did his thing with Cage, Alberto did his thing with Mundo, Ray did his thing with Mundo, Ray did the thing with Mysticis. AAA needs to spend 2016 getting their guys established, putting their guys at the top. Even if you do bring in an outside name, like in this case with Wagner, like you said, that would be smart, putting Psycho Clown over him, assuming Psycho Clown is sticking there for a while. You have to, this is the year where AAA needs to focus on getting their guys over and making their guys' names. It's nice to have the sexy names, the, like the American Stars or the names from the past in Lucha Libre, but you have to get your guys. That's the main thing this year, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think the other issue that I think we vaguely mentioned on Twitter, I think it came up today, or TKD referenced it, is that the Mexican peso has gone down so much, the U.S. dollar, that it may not be easily affordable for them to bring these guys in as it was before. Mm-hmm. I mean, either those guys are taking less money, or and they're unhappy about it, and that's why maybe Mysterio isn't working as many dates, or that AAA, the cost of bringing those guys in has gone up quite a bit in the last couple of years for AAA. So I think, I don't know if we're going to see no foreigners in, but I kind of expect that with that it's just not going to be Mysterio appearing less, it's going to be all those guys appearing less going forward, unless things change, turn around.
It'll be interesting to see how they deal with it, because AAA's thing has always been, you know, they do their stuff, then all of a sudden some American decides to come in and they just focus everything around that American. Or around, like, a guy like Blue Demon Jr. who suddenly shows up. And you can't do that, because then you get in a situation where you have a world title tournament, and who are you going to put the world title on? None of your guys have any credibility.
Yeah. Whoever ends up winning this, if it's not Wagner, it's going to be someone who's going to have to get a few big wins before that title means anything, which it really hasn't always, it hasn't often meant anything, but it's a long way away from meaning anything at this point. The other thing with Blue Demon, and this is a slight Lucha Underground spoiler, but I think people would assume that he couldn't show up anyplace else because he's under contract with Lucha Underground, but he has not appeared on those tapings at all. They're taping as we talk today, but he may not be under contract to anybody, so he would be free to work wherever he wants to work.
He seems like the perfect name for Elite, because he hasn't been in CML in ages, in Arena Mexico in ages.
Well, it's him and Santo, and it's like, if they can bring back other people, then for the right price, they probably can bring back Santo. It depends on if he wants to do his retirement tour in Arena Mexico, then they'll probably can make it happen.
The other name that's missing from this show, and then I'm kind of wondering to see how 2016 starts to play out for him, is Fireball.
Right.
I mean, if we're assuming he's not the mystery guy and it's going to be somebody else, I'd like to know, A, why he's not on this show. Because his schedule's been weird. There was on Christmas he worked as a mini. Or no, that was New Year's. On Christmas he worked...
New Year's.
That was New Year's, right? Yeah, so New Year's he worked as a fill-in mini on a AAA show. On Christmas, he worked teaming with he was supposed to be teaming with Aerostar, but he ended up getting replaced by Chiva Rayada, and he ended up working an indie show. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand what his deal is with AAA, if he can just skip some of the because regular AAA talent cannot miss these spot shows. That's how they get their money.
Yeah.
But just the other day, he worked on a random AAA spot show. You would think there'd be better bookings for him available.
And he's working a women's show.
In
the
opener
of a women's show.
Yeah.
So that's... In the situation where it's come out that Alberto was not under contract and that Mysticis was not under contract and they apparently just let Mysterio's contract expire, I find it hard to believe that Flamita was actually signed to a AAA contract as it was announced at the time, or it was something of big significance. I'd be surprised at this point if he was not back in Dragon Gate whenever Dragon Gate wants him back, because he can do the same role he's been doing by going back and forth from Dragon Gate and be the fill-in mid-carder guy if that's all they're going to use with him. And they've seemed to, with all those guys they brought in, not just Flamita, but with Mike Bailey too, they just kind of used them as guys that could slot on the card if they had a spot on the card. But they never really got, they haven't really got behind any of them, and they haven't really given any of them any specific role. So it's like it was a tryout period for those guys, which doesn't sound like someone who's under contract at all.
And on the Arena Neza taping, they used him in the opener. He just was a fill-in. Working against like Apache and Soul Rocker of all people.
Yeah, that was like a dark match. We need an extra taping. Let's find everyone who can answer their phone in the next half hour
right.
to the arena. Deal.
You would think with a talent like that, I mean, I wonder if he's biding his time and maybe, you know, AAA, sometimes they make promises whether they can keep them or not. And I wonder if somebody made a promise that he'd be used in Lucha Underground and he's just waiting for the next season to start taping.
Could be.
I mean, I don't want to give away spoilers, but he hasn't been used on season two, so.
Yeah.
That's not a spoiler because it's not going to happen. So,
yeah.
Unless he's showing up today.
The next hour of our podcast will just be telling people who aren't on Lucha Underground. You can hear it out from there.
But I would like to see him get used by someone in some major role, because if you're going to have him, access to him, there's absolutely no reason he should be working in a minis division or in the first match on the show.
But yeah, see, that's the big difference is that AAA wanted Flamita pretty badly, it seemed like, but they seem to have they haven't evolved the thought of him from when he was working with them before, and they just see him as the opener guy, the fill-in guy, the guy who might be something in a few years.
Right.
And then for us who have seen him in Dragon Gate and elsewhere in the last 2 years, see him as a top cruiserweight guy who really needs to get behind if you're going to bring him in. And I'm not sure why there's a big difference between those two viewpoints. AAA does seem like a promotion that does not pay a lot of attention to stuff that goes on beyond what's on their shows and maybe WWE shows. But you think if they were urgently trying to bring him back, they would have seen him other places and know why they wanted him back.
Well, it goes back to your old story about the toys. AAA finds one toy, they really want that toy, they get that toy. They take the toy out of the box, and then they're tired with it 2 minutes later.
Yeah.
They find their new toy.
As of right now, as we record this, it's not supposed to be an iPay-per-view, or at least it hasn't been announced as one. It's weird because they usually just do iPay-per-views, and it would be easiest of all places to do it in Mexico City, and the first time they did it with this current service was a free show in Mexico City where they were trying it out to see if it actually worked. But it's also a show that will start airing on TV about 8 days after it tapes, so it's not a huge loss if it doesn't air. It'd be nice to see it live, but we're going to have so much live Lucha Libre at that point in time that I think people would be kind of okay with having to put off some stuff.
Like we said earlier, I don't think this will end up being an iPay-per-view just because, like you said, it'll air a couple days later on TV. What's the point? And it would have been announced by now.
Yeah. But we'll look forward to when it happens. And the AAA TV is airing as we're talking right now, and I don't have it on or anything. But I would also hope that we soon find out what they're actually doing for the other tapings this year, because it'd be nice to know if they actually have the schedule. It's just been this whole weird thing where AAA has, like, ceased to exist for about a month through the holidays.
But it's always like this anyways.
Yeah, but I mean, it's always like this, but they usually finish up big, and then they stop existing. And this one was like they fell apart, and then they went quiet.
Yeah. They should be in a raid in Naucalpan soon, because they usually start off running in Naucalpan.
Yeah, they run the same, like, three... Yeah, they Toluca, they run Atapic, they run Pachuca usually early.
Yeah.
There's like four shows they run every couple at the start of the year most years. So we probably have, once we get one of them done, then we'll probably have a good guess on the other ones.
Well, like you said, they need TV, right? Even after they tape this one. So they should be loading up on taping, especially double tapings.
Yeah. Do you believe they're still going to be able to run the World Cup this year?
I don't see why not, because it's all I mean, once you have the sponsors in it, I mean, it basically runs itself.
It should, but I think just because Ring of Honor is not going to work with them, and who knows what the deal is with TNA at any point, finding talent is probably going to be tougher this year than it was last year. And last year it seemed like it was a challenge.
I think there's always places to dig up talent, no matter where you look. They'll find a Japan team. I mean, you want to talk about obscure, I'm just scrolling here on Twitter. DTU just announced they found they're bringing in a wrestler from New Zealand, of all places.
Well, that's so good.
If DTU can find somebody from New Zealand to come wrestle, I'm sure AAA can find somebody in some part of the world to come make it a whole international thing. It's just a matter of getting the big names. But you know what they say, Jeff Jarrett will always be available.
Oh, I'm just happy they haven't gone back to him. They haven't gone back to GFW. It's a nice change of pace.
Yeah, but also it's been too quiet on the Jeff Jarrett front when it comes to AAA, so I'm always worried.
Yeah. Jeff Jarrett is a worrisome individual.
Yes.
But Jeff Jarrett and GFW, I'm going to make a transition here, lost one of their stars to Lucha Underground, a show you got to see a couple weeks ago. Is that correct?
Yeah, but I don't even know who you're referring to.
Yeah, you don't know. Yeah, because you don't pay attention to GFW and you don't pay attention to it's an XWE star that you particularly do not like, which also doesn't narrow it down.
Oh no, I got that. I got that now. Yes.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to reveal that he was there?
He was in the trailer. I feel like the trailer should be considered allowed to talk about, since anything Lucha Underground puts out itself. Like, if they put out a photo of a door with a new name on it, then that's pretty much what you can go ahead and talk about on the podcast.
All right, that's cool. So, yeah, so PJ Black was there.
Yeah. There's a whole bunch of people were there. I mean, the other name that came out, and I guess this is a slight spoiler, and I'm really going to annoy people at this point with the slight spoilers, is that we saw that Joey Ryan also debuted. Well, he didn't debut on those tapings. He appeared on a few other ones, but everyone treated it as a debut because no one knows what goes on half those tapings.
Yeah.
And what I enjoyed about that was that there was like another person. We had another person debuted in the in one of the matches that was a pretty big character in the universe of Lucha Underground. Not even Matanza, mm-hmm. but somebody else.
Yeah,
and then a pretty decent name from AAA debuted in a later taping, and neither of those two guys got anyone mentioned them existing at all. It was the guy who does not have a huge role on the show so far got the big mention because he was in the right video at the right time, or because he's a U.S. indie star. I'm not sure. It's what people latch on to sometimes surprises me.
I don't know. I don't want to say anything that's going to spoil anything. So I'm trying to just watch my words, but, I don't know what to say. Cause I don't want to spoil it. I'm trying to remember. See,
what was the overall experience like of going to a taping?
It was good. I mean, I enjoyed it. I was there for two straight nights. So five shows in total, because the second night they taped three episodes. Or I think they taped three episodes. It said it was going to be three episodes. And it was interesting. You know, I think what really stuck out to me was that the production does a great job editing those shows, because it's very different live, that you can really see the guys in the ring. They're working for TV and not for a live crowd. Because if something goes wrong, they can just go right back to it. They know that it's being filmed by like 15,000 cameras, so they can cover up whatever mistakes are being made. Everything is very, I don't even know how to put it, but it's like yesterday, Voices of Wrestling on their Twitter mentioned something about they were surprised when they saw the invites that the fans get, what they have to wear and how everything is so strict, right?
Right.
And I'm like, because it's a TV show. It's not a wrestling event. Which is exactly like when you're there, you feel like it's a TV show. They're guiding the fans, they're guiding the wrestlers where to stand. You can't be in Melissa's way when she's doing the introduction so that the camera's right on her. There's no music when the guys come out. Don't get me wrong, it's a great atmosphere, you're watching great wrestling, but the main focus is making a great TV product. And it was interesting to see it live, so I'm happy I got to see that part. Because I don't know if I'll ever get a chance to see something like that, right? Because there's not that's the only company that tapes like that.
Yeah. It makes you wonder how they're going to ever be if they do live shows, either WrestleMania weekend or some other time. Because, I mean, when I was there last year, sometimes they had figured out they could redo the spots, but I think the wrestlers were still getting comfortable with the idea of doing a TV show. And that they could, that it would be fixed if they messed something up, so they might as well retry it. it sounds like they've kind of got a handle on what the other parts of the production are doing now, and they're taking more advantage of it. But that also that's also different than what you would do if you were doing it just in front of a crowd and weren't being taped. But then all those guys do work live. They work plenty. It's not like these guys are just TV workers. They just have to adjust to different environments, I think.
Right. Like, I'll give you a perfect example of a lie, because it's going to have to be different when they do live shows compared to the TV. I was watching a match where there was a whole bunch of stuff going on. There was a bunch of guys involved. And these two guys, clearly, they had a spot planned out that they needed to do, and they wanted to be caught by the cameras. But they had to wait until some other guys did something. So they basically just stood at their positions where they were going to do their spot, waited till the other guys on the other side did their thing, then they did their spot, because it had to be done after the other guys did something. And if you're doing a live show in front of a crowd at a house show where there's, you know, no cameras going on, you can't do stuff like that, because it's not going to make any sense. And the wrestling crowd in particular is going to boo it. It's going to look beyond fake. But for a TV show, when that airs on TV, no one's going to – I'll explain when it does air on TV, but, you know, you would never even think that, like, it's going to look seamless the way they edit it.
Yeah. I think, considering how we've seen AAA in particular try to do that sort of editing to fix things, that the editors on Lucha Underground are completely underrated.
Oh, yeah.
You do notice that there are edits sometimes, but not all the times, and that you do – and it does feel – it doesn't even when you do see the edits, it doesn't take you out of the match as much as other TV shows.
Right. And the other thing I want to point out go ahead.
It's rare you see someone like standing in one corner and then they cut to a different angle and they're in a different part of the ring.
Yeah.
It flows together a little better than that.
Or like when AAA aired the Juarez taping, they put the opener on TV.
And yes.
They used a mid-match near fall as the actual finish of the match. It just blew my mind.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to point out is the amount of females that work on the Lucha Underground staff. That really blew me away. When it comes to, like, the people who help people into the arena, who are working out front, and there are a bunch of camera women. It's very it's interesting that there's so many females working on the show, because in the wrestling bubble, you're not used to that at all. Like, your mind is blown when you see a female associated with wrestling in any way, in any sort of capacity that isn't, like, you know, eye candy. And it was just surprising to me. It was good. I liked it.
Yeah, it's completely – they're obviously coming from the TV show bubble instead of the wrestling bubble, and there's a lot of ways where it just – where people have the expectations that they will act like a wrestling company, and they're still on the TV show, which surprises me that there was even that talk of them doing the WrestleMania shows, because unless they're going to do some special tapings around that time – it doesn't seem they're a TV show. It doesn't seem like it makes sense for them to do those kind of things.
And it'll be interesting to see where that WrestleMania thing ends up, because, you know, speaking from personal experience, Dallas is all booked up with shows, not just the times. I mean, you've got limited times. You've got Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but all those times are taken. There's buildings that are not available anymore. So unless you're partnering up with someone, I have no idea where their shows could be. I think at the end of the day, their shows aren't even going to be in Dallas. I think they'll do shows in Texas, but they might appeal to a different crowd, not the WrestleMania crowd.
Yeah, I think if you are a person who's going to WrestleMania, not you specifically, but the general person who's going to WrestleMania or trying to figure out if you want to go to Lucha Underground or if you're going to a different show, I would not assume that they're going to be in easy driving distance from where the rest of the other shows. I wouldn't even assume that they would be in Dallas or even that part of Texas. I think it may just be a coincidence that they're running that week. I think it may, but I think they're also not going to pick days to work around the other indie shows, because I don't think they're really, they don't seem like the group that's completely caring about the other indie shows, that they feel like, that they're doing their own little different thing. They're outside that bubble, which has some good points and bad points, where they might not know about these other shows, that they're just there because WWE is there, and they're not worried about the rest. So, I mean, we know that Robert Rodriguez's studio is in Austin, Texas, which is about 3 hours away from Dallas. I looked this up on Google a couple weeks ago, I forgot. And that would make much more of a sense for a place to centralize Lucha Underground than going to Dallas, because they probably have studios or places they can rent in Austin, and Austin has a big enough population and a big enough a diverse population that you'd have people who would definitely be interested in going to the Lucha Underground taping that they wouldn't even necessarily need to draw from the WrestleMania fans.
And it ties in, it ties in maybe to the, you know, there was speculation a couple months back that maybe Lucha Underground was going to switch venues where they tape.
Yeah, so they probably have, I mean, they may not have venues scouted around Dallas because they wanted to build off WrestleMania, but they may have venues scouted around Texas because that's where they thought they were going to set up full time. So I would not expect this to like dovetail with the WrestleMania and with the other shows as well as people might expect. I think it's just going to be something that like Lucha Underground itself might be out on its own little island.
Yeah, and actually, if I was doing it just for my personal preferences, I would hope that they would do something on a Thursday night. So for those of us that are heading up there, maybe we can fly into wherever Lucha Underground's taping, check out that show, and then head over to Dallas. That would be ideal for people like me. But I guess time will tell, and I hope that time means very soon, because some of us want to make our travel arrangements, and hopefully they get an announcement going as soon as possible.
Yeah, we need to start hearing announcements from Lucha Underground in the next couple of weeks, because if they're going to get on Televisa or the UK or any place else, that probably needs to happen about the same time as they're starting on LRA. So those announcements have to be made in the next week or two that they're showing up soon. Unimass doesn't seem like they announced anything ever, so we'll probably only know when it shows up in the programming listings, and I assume they're going to be on. But those things, you expect, they still haven't technically actually ever announced how many episodes they're doing this season, which is a bizarre thing. Just a second. Good cough there. But it sounds like they're doing 28 episodes, but that's not a thing you would send out on a press release. There's still no public movement on the whole, when are they going to be on the streaming service? I think Angelico, in that interview he did a couple weeks ago, said they kind of hinted it was Netflix, but there's still no sign of them on there, but you think they want that before season two starts?
Well, one place we're going to see them soon is here in Canada on Telelatino. They got a deal. They just announced it on Friday, right? As he chokes to death, I ask him a question.
Yeah, they announced that's going to be on the Sunday after it airs.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if it was just on the same day, but at least you're getting it all, which is a nice help.
It's good. It's a nice flashback for me because I got into Lucha Libre watching on Telelatino when they used to have AAA and they used to have CMLL, and they canceled it in 97, and I actually, my 14-year-old self actually looked up the address of the Telelatino offices and was going to go down there to complain and antagonize them into putting it back on the air. But I thought better of it and just instead left threatening messages on their machine. And then eventually, it's true. And then eventually they brought back Lucha Libre, I can only assume thanks to me, in 2004. And they had CMLL and AAA. They even had the weird stuff where, like, we were getting exclusive matches on Telelatino that never even aired in Mexico.
Yeah.
That was really messed up. And now it looks like we're going to have Lucha Underground. I'm not going to wait until Sunday, I'll admit. I'm going to watch it Wednesday, when the first chance I get when it airs. But I am going to watch on Telelatino. I'm going to have my TV tuned in just in case it counts for ratings or viewership or whatever it is. And I hope it picks up, and I hope that somebody in the U.S. picks it up too, because I don't think Telelatino is available in the U.S.
No. So, but I mean, I hope it gets bigger distribution in the U.S. That's what I do with the Unimass, is I watch it on Wednesday, but then I usually have the Unimass broadcast going on while I'm doing stuff. I don't think it helps any of the numbers, but if every so often something weird happens that doesn't happen on the other show, and it's kind of interesting.
One thing I want to note first, before you go on, is that Telelatino, it may sound like a nothing channel to some Americans, but it's basic cable here in Canada, especially here in Ontario, which is the biggest province in Canada. If you don't have any special package, you just have a TV with regular cable, you get Telelatino. So it's a pretty big deal that they're on it.
So some people were just wondering they were on the Fight Network, but this sounds like this is a much better distribution deal than that.
Well, this is much better. Fight Network, you got to pay extra for just when we're listing channels. I mean, Telelatino is on channel 35. It's very low on the dial. Fight Network is channel 427 or 512, and it's part of packages. You got to pay extra for it. So getting on Telelatino is not like they're on some obscure channel.
That'll really help. I wonder if hopefully we'll see more Lucha Underground guys go to Canada with after your television helps them.
I hope so, yeah.
It'd be interesting if Lucha Underground starts working and booking their guys out themselves rather than doing AAA or doing somebody else, because that does seem like one of the obstacles right now is that getting a hold of these people. I think these people are in demand, but you have to jump through a lot of hoops or track down people to find out if you can bring them in. And if Lucha Underground's going to help these guys get over by having their TV show, that they probably want some money for their bookings they're getting outside of Mexico at this point.
Yep. But that's going to be a whole big political situation.
Yeah, I'm sure. The one thing about I wanted to say about Netflix is that it seems like I don't get Netflix because I don't know. I don't know why. I don't have a good reason. But I do know that they add their shows at the beginning of the month. And Lucha Underground is going to air on El Rey, at least the first season. I don't think they're going to air that again after they run that marathon in a couple weeks. So there's really no value in El Rey holding on to the rights to those shows exclusively anymore. I would think that if they're going to be added anytime soon, they're going to be added on that February 1st date. Mm-hmm. But I have no reason, I have no information that they will, but I think that's, if it doesn't happen then I wouldn't hold out them doing it anytime soon. So I'm hoping it's done that time.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll see.
It would be nice because there's a lot of things like that they have not made any movement besides, the only really thing they've made movement is that they're taping more episodes and they're bringing more people in. And you'd like to see them expand in other ways too. But even if they don't, the show should still be fun. I think I said they had announced an episode count, but I think it's 28 if I'm doing the math right, which is 12 less than last season if you count Ultimo Lucha 2 as 2 hours. But then I think they're going to be back later this year to tape season 3. So we may end up having the same amount of episodes in about the same calendar year anyway.
And they started to expand their merchandise too this year, right? That was a step forward.
Yeah, they're doing, pro wrestling tees, and that they're eventually going to add more stuff, and it sounds like they have more stuff today at the taping. So.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to win awards in the Wrestling Observer newsletter when it comes out.
Yeah. You know, this is probably a crazy theory, but I think how they do in that best TV series is going to be kind of an indicator about how serious these sport wrestling fans are about wanting guys about wrestling promotions to take hiatuses and breaks. Because that's always a big talking point, that guys should only work 9 months and then take a few months off so that everyone rests and rehab and gets better.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the only way Lucha Underground doesn't win is if people hold it against them that they weren't around for all 12 months. Because this is kind of the style that people say they want. But I think people are going to downgrade them because they didn't do 52 okay episodes instead of doing like 38 really great episodes. And that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're already an hour 20 in, and I know how we're going to get 40 minutes on this, so this is kind of crazy. I hope that's a good thing. If you're listening, it's not a good thing. I'm very sorry. We had like four other things that we weren't going to talk about much anyways, but we might as well hit them before we finish up. I guess we have three things. The fourth thing is whatever else. There's no whatever else.
And
what do you think the odds of AAA TV actually coming to the U.S.?
God, I don't want to be negative, but it's hard to be, you know, positive on stuff like this because there's so many promises. I mean,
there's so many carrots on the stick for this topic.
And honestly, I'd rather see AAA get their own house in order back in Mexico before focusing on, you know, getting on TV in the U.S. But I do understand the logic here because it's better to get U.S. dollars than it is Mexican pesos, as we were talking about earlier. I hope they can get on TV. I don't know where they would get on TV. By all the more power to them if they can get on TV and get their own stuff going, because anything that helps the talent make money and gets them more into the U.S. works for me. But at the end of the day, this topic revolves around one thing. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah. I think they're doing it going along the right way. I think doing voiceovers over existing, assuming they have the rights to do this, doing voiceovers over the existing TV, if that's what they're doing, makes this like a an easy win because it's not going to cost them that much.
Yeah.
But and it's also a good way to promote the pay-per-view and also helps those announcers actually be familiar with AAA before they call the pay-per-view, because they'll actually have seen the TV this time. But I worry that doing it this way means that the AAA TV is probably going to end up being like weeks behind the U.S. and Mexico, because it's not like they're going to fly these guys into New York every week to do a new voiceover. They're either going to have some way of having to do it from their own homes every week or from closer to home, or they're going to have to do like a month's worth of TV in a weekend, and that means the TV is going to be a month behind, and that's not the best way to help promote a pay-per-view. But maybe they'll figure something out. I don't know where they can get on TV easily, but, you know, at worst, I hope they just put the TV pilot and whatever else they work on YouTube, because just having some English language AAA that's official AAA will actually help them out, I think.
I think so too, yeah. I think they got it, you know, there's been so many false starts with all this. I would hate to see another false start. I think that it'll just make people angrier and angrier.
Yeah, I hope that Court Bauer has something pretty close in hand before he started talking about this, because otherwise it's a bad form to get everyone hyped up if there's not something actually to it.
Right.
I mean, they could have done this completely quiet if they wanted, and no one would have ever known, but they wanted to make sure people knew, so they have to live with people being disappointed with them if it doesn't work out.
That's exactly it. I mean, all of AAA is always about making these huge announcements, getting people hyped for stuff, and then at the end of the day, you know, the day after Triple Mania happens.
Yeah. How excited are you for Thunder and Ultimo Guerrero? You want to do 0 to 10?
Oh, minus 10. Honestly, I am a 10 because I just want them to do it. Just get it over with.
Yes. I think we're stuck at getting that in March. I'm very concerned. I'm not making travel plans for March, that is for sure. Because I have a fear that
the main event. It's not going to be the main event.
Yeah, but I think if that's one of your two big matches, that's not going to be a good show.
they're gonna have to have something bigger than the main event, because I see this going in like the Maximo Kamaitachi fourth from the top type place. But I do think it'll happen in March. I think if they back out of it again in March, it'll never happen.
I don't know.
I think it's March or never.
This has dragged on so long. This has been so terrible. And I'm afraid that they're setting up with Ultimo Guerrero losing and Thunder still being around for someone else to get revenge on.
I told you that, didn't I? I said that.
Yes, I'm coming around. It's not good. There are many places where obviously CML is just not like booking in a way that makes any sense at all for what the results are. It's so depressing every time they go out there, because they could be doing so much better stuff with guys. But even with Ultimo Guerrero, it seems like a waste of Ultimo Guerrero, which is saying something.
The funny thing is, not many people notice this, but if you go back and watch the video from last night, Guerrero got a haircut.
He did?
He had the sides trimmed, and so he's cutting his own hair, even though the match isn't happening.
Yeah, so maybe he thought he was getting a haircut in January on the 1st, and he decided to get one anyway. And maybe he knows it's going to be a while since he's going to get another haircut, so he can go clean up now.
Maybe he didn't want to go to Japan bald. That's why they put off the match. Who knows? You can come up with a million theories. At the end of the day, unless someone from the inside, like Marco Corleone, decides to spill the beans on what's really going on behind the scenes, we'll never know why things happen the way they happen, what happened in the past month. But we can just hope that they finally put this to bed in March, get it over with, because we've been seeing this. Thunder came back in September 2014. That's when he came back. That's when all of this began. Can you imagine how many times we've seen this Guerreros versus Revolucionarios match?
I don't want to. It's so bad.
It's ridiculous. I can't believe they have the nerve to run another Thunder singles match.
It's going to be exactly 2 years since he debuted in about a week. And it's been so bad every time.
Every time.
It's never gotten better. If they put, it's one of those ones where if they put half as much energy in pretty much anyone else, they would have a new big star, but they're not big enough, I guess.
And now Super Parka's back.
Yeah, Super Parka, who was just terrible. It's terrible, but at least you could figure out that that's probably a favor to somebody.
Right.
But he's also still terrible. There's a lot of people crowding up the roster who are not really good or not really motivated to be good right now, and it's making it hard to have some good matches at times. But
it's hard to explain what CML does, and quite frankly, there's no explanation. So yeah. They continue to exist in their own world, and you either you live with it and you accept it, or you bitch about it on Twitter like we do, and you just pick out the good stuff. Like, next week's lineup looks horrendous, but I'm looking forward to Rush versus Caristico.
Rush versus Caristico, and we don't see Staketa that much right now, so it's nice to see him back in the card.
Right. He's a guy who should jump to AAA, because that would be a good thing for their minis division.
If they were to do minis, yeah, he definitely would fit in there much better.
Yep.
What else? And then, I guess, it's a January podcast, so we're required to talk about year-end awards, but I actually did not fill out award ballot at all for the Wrestling Observer.
Still have time.
And but I never do, because it's just not that interesting. Finding out the results and seeing where people's heads are as a mass is interesting, but actually picking names out just doesn't really do much for me. But I like motivating people to put people who I want on their list. I think that's fun. But actually putting people on the list myself is not as fun. I don't know why.
But it's exciting when randomly, like, when Rush versus Negro Casas finishes for third for Feud of the Year, and you're like, wow, where did those votes come from?
Yes. Where are those people, and why are they not visiting my website?
Yeah.
That's most of my question. But do you think any Lucha Libre guys are going to finish high in any of those awards that people care about?
Best flyer, the usual category. You probably get a bunch of AAA and Lucha Underground guys there.
Yeah, I think Lucha Underground is definitely going to help in that category, maybe a couple others, because people who know the guys had an easier chance of seeing them, and they stick in the head a little bit more. I've told you that I think there's absolutely a lock that AAA is going to win the worst pay-per-view of the year, and I think you think AAA is probably not going to think of a big deal, and I think AAA, or maybe you do, but I think that AAA is going to be very sad that people are still bugging them about it,
yes.
Even though it's a year-end award.
Yes, and they're also going to win worst match of the year. Although
there's so many WWE and TNA matches that people latch on more to, but that one I think gets spread out over so many people it's going to be tough to tell.
Honestly, I think just because Dave pushed it so much as the worst match, it'll get the most,
yeah.
The clowns versus the cycle, the clowns versus Villanos we're talking about. But there's been, I mean, I've seen a million matches worse in Mexico, but Dave does have a point when he says it is the worst match when you consider the scale it was on.
Yes.
Right? Like, a bad match at WrestleMania is going to get more noticed than a bad match on Superstars or whatever their weekend show is called these days.
Yeah, because it works the other way too, where a good match, because the best match is obviously going to be one of those two New Japan matches from last year's Tokyo Dome.
Right.
Because it was on the big stage. So it goes the other way.
I wonder if Atlantis Sombra will get any votes for a match of the year.
I think it'll finish like top 10 or something in there, just because that's the CML match that people pay attention to. I hope that I've successfully convinced people to vote Dragon Lee Kamitachi as the best for everybody, so it gets like top three.
I voted it at number one, I think.
That's a good sign, because I've been writing that's the best rivalry for like the last 4 months in hopes that it would make that top three, just to see if I can warp people's minds. But it's actually been a pretty good feud.
It has, and it's been going on regularly.
Yeah. Yeah, as opposed to the other ones that disappear, the helpful thing is that CML just kept on going back and back to it, so, all the way from March all the way from December.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that's it. What do you have for your best match?
Because
I still have to do... Because I haven't started on the Voices of Wrestling thing at all for the top 10, and I will end up doing that. But I haven't really... I'm still going through a few things. It'd be really great if the Lucha Memes show from Christmas Day turned up before this ballot was due, but I think there's zero chance of that.
I think,
looking at my list, the only thing that I really have feel like a strong chance of actually cracking anything, in theory, would be that Dragon Lee Titan match. But now that's not going to air on TV, so I have to go track them on the handheld.
Wait, who? Dragon Lee Titan?
Dragon Rojo and Titan.
Oh, okay.
But did you have a definite pick on the Wrestling Observer ballot for that award?
Yeah, I went with the CML Trios titles match from February 13th with Místico, Volador, Valiente against Ultimo Guerrero, Euphoria, and Diablo Roja. 25-minute match. I mean, they did everything. They broke the standard trios formula that CML usually uses, and that's perfectly my type of match. And then I went with number two, Volador Jr. versus Flamita from Cara Lucha.
And that was a great match.
Yeah, and instead of... It was so hard to pick a number three, and no matter what, I mean, you know, between the Dragon Lee stuff, and I decided to cheat for the Wrestling Observer Awards. Since you can use last year, too, in December, I picked Aerostar and Superfly.
Yeah, that cheat is so weird, but that was a pretty epic match. It's probably going to also suffer because it was December and no one remembers that it's still available. I think if I had to think off the top of my head, I think I'd probably go with the Phoenix Mil Muertes match from Lucha Underground, the Grave Consequences match. But there were the Flamita Volador match I really liked when watching it. There were some trios matches that I really liked. I think I'm going to have to actually finish my match of the year kind of hit list at some point in the next couple of weeks and break things down, but
I do like that. You should be ready to go because you're all caught up, aren't you?
I'm caught up on most stuff, but I have like maybe about 15 more indie matches I need to watch. Mm-hmm. But I guess I am done with 2015 with the TV stuff. Unless I wanted to go back. Oh yeah, I made a list of the Lightning matches I missed that I need to go back and watch. That's how that list of Lightning matches they didn't air came about. It's like, oh good, I get to watch Uriel versus Pequeño Violenza, and they didn't hear Kamatachi and Titan. That seems a fair trade.
Here's a challenge to any people that are still listening to this podcast at the 1 hour, 30-minute mark. Yeah. Find that Astro versus Pequeño Violenza Lightning match. Watch it. It's only 9 minutes. Watch it. And I dare you to tell me that that's not worse than the Clowns versus Villanos, especially when you see the last 2 minutes of that Lightning match.
I remember that being awful, but I don't have a review for it, so I have to watch it again. It's going to be so weird, because I thought I was going to get stuff done with more time, and I'd be able to watch more outside stuff, but I don't think I'm going to be watching Battle of Los Angeles before I vote in these awards, which probably would affect what I watch. So
I think Joe Lanz, or was it Joe or Rich, one of them, went with the approach that if I haven't watched it yet from 2015, I'm not going back, because it's already 2016.
I probably should give myself the amnesty, but I need the. I need to get the clear out as much CML as possible. Although it's not like I'm going to watch like all the LA TV shows that I didn't get to see otherwise.
Right.
There was something else from my list that I thought was pretty good. Sombra Rush was really great.
Mm-hmm.
Kometa Cavernario from the Fantastic Mania show was pretty great. But that's one where I may like it more for the story of how they got there. Than the match itself, because Kometa was kind of really messed up. The Mysticist Paraguayo match.
That was really good, yeah.
That was really good, and that's Paraguayo's last big match, and that held some significance, and it's a really great match for it to be his last match. Wish it wasn't his last match, but that was pretty good. The Titan Cavernario title change was great.
Great match. I love that match. I went back and watched the Fantastica Mania about a month or two ago, and I think I remember I DM'd you saying that the Sombra Mascara Dorada match did not hold up for me, but Rey Cometa Cavernario did. I just, the Sombra Dorada, maybe, you know, I watched it live, it was exciting, but when you go back and watch it, they were both off their game for such a big match.
Yeah. I wonder if the announcement or the pressure of the situation or just because it was their first match threw them off, but
yeah,
it's too bad we're not getting that match for a long time if we're getting that match.
That's right. No, Titan Cavernario, like you said, the match from June or July, I forget which month, it was really good. That's going to fall under everybody's radar, but I'll probably have it in my top five. And I also like the Alas de Oro, but that's more of a, because that's all high spots, that's all what I love, so.
Yeah, and I think I have the Cinturón Latigo versus Fly Warrior Mr. Leo match that we saw live, too, on my list. I don't know if that's going to make my top 10. That was pretty good.
That makes my favorite matches list for sure. Because that was the best Cara Lucha match not involving Flamita for me this year.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. So, I think that's it. I don't think we have anything left on the list. We have whatever else left on the list, but I just deleted it. Because I don't think we were running out of things to say. I don't know when next time we're going to do a podcast. Because I guess there's probably not much happening in February that I can think of.
No.
Maybe we'll like watch a few Lucha Underground episodes and we'll be motivated to really talk about them. Because that trailer we got to see a few weeks ago had a whole bunch of scenes, and I have no idea how all those scenes are going to make it onto the show. But I'm excited to find out.
I'm really excited. You know, I read all the spoilers. I'm not a guy that avoids... I was debating whether I should avoid spoilers or not, but at the end of the day, I'm not a guy who avoids spoilers, but I can't remember anything.
Are you going to avoid spoilers now that you're not going to any more tapings this season?
I'm not, no, because like I said, I mean, I can't remember. I read the story.
Oh.
I can't remember anything from the first set of tapings that are going to be airing in a couple weeks.
Oh, so you can find out, and then it'll just be out of your mind. And especially since the stuff they're taping tonight will not be airing till like April 27th,
right.
So there's no chance you're going to remember that.
Exactly. The tapings I was at are going to air WrestleMania weekend. So I was telling my friend Mark when we were there, I'm like, dude, the next time we see each other is going to be when we're actually going to be on TV in the crowd at Lucha Underground.
It's so weird. But it's going to be a weird thing. Because they'll probably be back taping before this even taping this whole season sort of finishes airing.
Well, for sure. I mean, if they stick to the schedule, yeah. And the thing is, see, this show is so big on what happens backstage that,
yes.
I mean, even if you know the results, even if you know who's going to be the champ and everything, you want to see, like, there. I mean, without giving away spoilers, there's a guy who I'm very interested in the promotion who hasn't been listed in many of the results, but I hear he plays a big part in the season. So I can't wait to see, like, how he fits in, like, what's going on off TV. That's the advantage that they have, right?
Yeah. There's a character who has not been involved in any matches that whose identity is still a complete mystery. This identity and gimmick is a complete mystery. And hopefully the backstage from Nets will explain what's going on there.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm not posting spoilers. But I'm still reading them all. And I think I'm still going to find out a lot of stuff only when it first airs in a few weeks.
And there's also been a lot of people get confused. Like one of the spoiler reports from a couple tapings ago, they listed a certain person was playing a certain role,
yes.
and then it turns out that person wasn't even there. So you never know how much stuff is all about confusion and people not knowing who they're seeing. You know, so we'll see how it turns out, and I'm very excited for it. I think it's going to be the best show again, even if they focus more on the supernatural stuff. I'm 100% down with the supernatural stuff. Are you?
I am too. I wonder if it's going to get more talk just because Ring of Honor is no longer on Wednesdays in any way that normal people are actually watching it. TNA is now on Tuesdays. So the whole talk about the different shows going against each other, if you want to watch wrestling on Wednesday nights, it's either them or NXT. And so I think maybe more people end up tracking down Lucha Underground as a result.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I'm doing the math right here, and I'm probably not, that Ultima Lucha would be airing on August 3rd. So, and they're going to be taping that in a couple weeks in January. So it's going to be like a six-month gap between when they tape and air it. So everyone's going to find out about that and then completely forget about it again. It's going to be helpful. And then they're probably going to be taping again they'll probably be well into taping by that happens. So we got a full 7 months of Lucha Underground to look forward to this year, which will be fun.
It'll be good. Regular show, hopefully good wrestling, good stories, and expansion. That's the main thing. I want to hear about the UniMass.
Yeah, I want to hear about UniMass. I want to hear about Netflix. I want to hear about more deals. But we will talk about them if they come up between now and whenever we do this next podcast.
Yes.
Thanks for coming on again, Rob.
Well, thank you.
Okay. And thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll be back at some point.